Thank you very much. Our next presenter is Dr. Lourdes Baez Conde Gabanati.
She was fine.
Dr. Baez Conde Gabanati is an associate professor in preventive medicine and sociology at the Keck School of Medicine at the University of Southern California. She earned her PhD in public health with an emphasis on social epidemiology and community health sciences from the University of California, Los Angeles. She oversees the research activities of the Patient Education and Community Outreach Center of the Norris Comprehensive Cancer Center and is the Director of Community Outreach and Education at the Institute for Health Promotion and Disease Prevention Research at USC. Her research focuses on the role of culture in health risk behaviors with an emphasis on cancer and tobacco control. She emphasizes the elimination of health inequities among Hispanics and Latinos and other vulnerable populations. Most of her work is done at the community level, utilizing community-based participatory research methods. Let's welcome her. Her presentation this afternoon is entitled, Exploring the Power of Narrative and Its Role in Helping to Create Healthy Communities Free from Cervical Cancer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for everybody who has stayed, because I know that this afternoon sessions are usually not that well attended, so I really appreciate you guys being here. I would like to talk a little bit today about this very innovative grant that we received from the National Cancer Institute. And I would like to recognize part of our team who's here, which includes Dr. Sheila Murphy, who's the joint or main PI on it, and Paula Mazzola, who's our project manager until recently. But she has worked a lot on helping to develop some of the work that we have done. So essentially, we felt that we needed to address the issue of cervical cancer because we began to see how much it was impacting different communities in particular, and I'm going to show you a slide in a few minutes. But we decided to go for this mechanism, which is a TR01. It's called a transformative R01, and it is a new mechanism that comes out of the National Cancer Institute Director's Office. And they are not awarded all the time, but occasionally awarded, and in addition to that, we're one of the only ones that does behavioral research in particular, as most of these kinds of grants are focused on more biological types of issues. So you can imagine, you know, there's a lot of interest in the work that we're doing. Cervical cancer, with early detection and the advent of the human papillomavirus vaccine, we know that it's both a curable and a preventable disease. However, it's still taking a lot of lives and a whole lot more than it should. So in 2010, cervical cancer took over 4,000 lives just in the United States. So the purpose of our research through this transformative research initiative is to investigate the impact of cervical cancer messages that are delivered versus a narrative versus a non-narrative format on women's knowledge, attitudes, and prevention behaviors regarding Pap tests and the HPV vaccine. And I have to recognize that one of the things that I think made a big difference even in the attitude of the reviewers when they first read our grant was something that Sheila came up with, and it was a question about what caused Pinocchio's nose to grow longer? And that was one question, and then followed with, what was the name of your second grade teacher? So if you were able to come up with the first answer a lot quicker than with the second answer, that's because it's part of a narrative and it's part of storytelling. And so for thousands of years, that's how we used to learn. So in some ways, this research is trying to go back to trying to understand how we can learn in different ways and to see which kinds of narrative versus non-narrative in particular may be more effective for certain population groups. So here you see the age-adjusted incidence rate of invasive cervical cancer by race per 100,000. And you can see that both in the United States, which is the yellow, and in Los Angeles County in particular, where our research is done, which is the red, you have the Hispanic population, which is really suffering disproportionately from this at the national level as well as in LA. And then nationally, you have the black African-American population that's highly impacted. I want to point the difference between the national level data and the LA data, because the national level data really tends to mask the reality of what happens sometimes within groups, such as with the Korean population, which, for example, the data for LA County is quite high. And so those are some of the groups that are most vulnerable in terms of cervical cancer risk. So this study in particular explores whether utilizing the story format, Pinocchio, produces a more significant change on cervical cancer knowledge, on attitudes and behaviors, than the more traditional non-narrative format. For these purposes, two 11-minute films were produced, and they were produced in coordination with the Annenberg School of Communication, the Keck School of Medicine at USC, and the School of Cinematic Arts and the Changemaking Media Lab at USC. The narrative, called the Tamale Lesson, revolves around the Romero's family preparation for their youngest daughter, Quinceañera, her 15th birthday. And I'm going to show you a clip of that in a minute. The second one, the non-narrative, It's Time, Es Tiempo, uses a more traditional approach, featuring doctors, patients, and figures, and what you would tend to see produced of high quality at the National Cancer Institute, for example. Both films convey the same 18 facts regarding the cause of cervical cancer, but they're done in different ways, as well as its prevention via the HPV vaccine and detection via the Pap test. The facts were developed by cancer experts, and they were approved by the NCI. And some of the examples of some of the facts that we've included are HPV is mostly transmitted through sex, or the HPV vaccine is administered in a series of 3 shots. And there were a whole bunch of other ones related to that. So I'm going to first play a scene from the narrative film. And I have to tell you, there's a very interesting scene here which demonstrates to women how a Pap test is done. It was working a minute ago. Control F. Okay. Okay, there it goes. Okay.
Okay, when you come to the doctor, you sit on the table and they spread your legs like this. And what exactly does the doctor do? Okay, so let's pretend this is your vagina.
It's not that color.
I bet I just pretend.
Okay, I'm a tamal.
So the doctor has to play this device, little device. They just spread the walls of your vagina.
I don't say words like that.
Rebecca, have you never had this test done before?
It's not as bad as it looks, Maria. They take this mascara type wand, and then they just walk on the inside of your butt.
They take a
Okay, so that is our narrative, and we actually have here, in case you want to see them later, we have the two films, the full films are 11 minutes, and tomorrow there's a session at here at 206, I think it's the room, at 112, where we're going to air the Tamale Lesson, the entire film. Okay, so that is the narrative portion. And now I'm going to play you a little clip from the non-narrative. And you're going to see the demonstration in a more narrative format.
Everybody gets embarrassed. And to get over the embarrassment.
How are you doing? I'm Dr. Aguilar. This is Arla.
Hello.
Hi. We're going to do your Pap test.
I think that the first time, you know, it's something, you know, you feel uncomfortable because you think somebody's going to be looking down there.
So we'll just do that quickly. Let that be. All right. Come up, and come all the way to the end of the table. That's good. All the way to the See? Now you're gonna feel the brush. And we're just gonna take some samples of your cervix. That's all we're gonna do. So here goes. And then move it a few times.
It is no painful, but a little pinch might be worth saving your life.
Okay, so now you've seen the difference between the narrative and the non-narrative film. So we conducted 8 focus groups with 68 English-speaking women between the ages of 25 and 45 to see their reactions to both the narrative and the non-narrative film. 4 of them viewed the narrative and the other 4 viewed the non-narrative. So the focus groups were videotaped, transcribed, and a thematic analysis was conducted to try to gauge the acceptance of the films and the information conveyed and to access the knowledge gained. So I'm going to present to you now some of the quotes from some of the focus groups that were done. And the focus groups were done among Korean women, among African American women, among Hispanic Latinas, as well as European American women. And so we had the film, we tested the film with these different audiences to see how the film was received. So this is the information regarding the transmission of the HPV of the virus. So you have, for example, a white woman who says, I had no idea it, HPV, was sexually transmitted. Or that was for the narrative. In the non-narrative, back in 2002, they, the doctors, never told me it, HPV, was a sexual thing. They said my walls were full of abnormal cervical cells, and they never gave me information on what was the cause of it. I didn't even know about HPV. I had no clue about that stuff. So this is a Hispanic woman, 29 years of age. A Korean woman said, cervical cancer can happen even if, though you're not sexually active? That one, I didn't know. In terms of the prevalence of HPV, some of our quotes that we have here, in the non-narrative, a white woman, 36 years of age, said, there were a lot of statistics I didn't know. So we see that there's knowledge being transferred here through the non-narrative. In the non-narrative, a Hispanic woman said, I like that there are a couple of new facts I didn't know before. I wasn't aware that Hispanic and Koreans were at highest risk for HPV. Well, in the narrative, a Hispanic woman said, I didn't know that 50% of women have it. It's a wake-up call. 1 in 2 have it, 50%. I didn't know the statistics were that high. I thought they were lower than that, and that was a Korean woman. And so what you're seeing here is that they're gaining that knowledge related to the HPV virus prevalence both in both films. In terms of the detection of the HPV virus, the DNA thing wasn't confusing. It was just said, and that was it. It just made me more curious, and it made me want to Google it. And then for the non-narrative, I didn't know about the new test for HPV. So you can see here in terms of the detection of HPV virus what some of the women are saying. And then in reaction to the HPV vaccine, one of the women said in the non-narrative, I don't believe in vaccines, especially at age 9. Another one in the non-narrative, to be honest, I didn't give my daughter the HPV shot because I feel like it kind of gives them that leeway to be sexually active. In the narrative, a Korean woman said, so then you don't get the vaccination if you're over 26? And notice her age. Well, I'm going to get it right now. I didn't know about the HPV shots. I just learned we can start it with 9-year-olds. I didn't know that. So this is some of the reactions to the HPV vaccine, and what we did find some differences among the various groups in terms of their reactions to vaccinations in general, which we found to be quite interesting. And the other thing is that some of the women in the Korean population in particular, although both films fared well in terms of knowledge transfer, but it was in terms of the attitudes or the acceptance of the film where there were a few issues. And we just had a poster yesterday. I wish you could have all been there. But you can write to me and we can send you copies of that, where it shows the differences in terms of the Korean women's reaction to the film, which were different than those that we found for the other groups, where in the other groups they fared in a much more positive way. So across all groups, women expressed the need to learn more about how to keep themselves and their daughters healthy. The narrative film in particular appeared to transcend cultural boundaries for European Americans and African American participants, even though it was a Hispanic family that was portrayed. Further research, however, is needed, especially among Korean women, to determine whether a failure to identify with fictional characters limits the ability of narratives to change relevant knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors in particular population groups. So what are some of the next steps that we are taking in terms of the work that we're doing? So now we are out in the field, currently already in the field, testing both the narrative and the non-narrative among 1,200 women. And some of the constructs that we are looking at include their medical history of pap tests, stress, acculturation, issues such as language issues, relationships, emotion, personal issues such as patients visualizing themselves in the film, which in the field of communication is known as transportation, identification, which is identifying with the characters, liking, feeling like you know the characters and can identify them, and then just general demographics and general film questions. One of the more exciting things about the fact that we're out in the field right now is that we're also collecting data on boys. And so, as you know, there's been in the news just recently about the HPV vaccine used among boys. And some of the folks that came to our poster yesterday want to follow up with us because they would like us to also look at some of these issues in the LGBT community, which is impacted in part by the HPV virus. So those are some of the more exciting things that we are working on right now. So one of the things is that with this kind of work, is that it could potentially change the way health education messages are delivered to various communities. And this is a special initiative. It's a one-time initiative, but we think that we could make changes potentially based on the data that we receive in the delivery of these messages in various ways to different population groups. So I would like to, again, acknowledge the National Cancer Institute for their funding of this grant. Of course, the content is solely ours, and I have no conflicts of interest at this time to disclose to you. And I would like to thank Doe Mayer from the School of Cinema, Jeremy Kagan, who's a director of the Changemaking Media Lab, for his collaboration, as well as Dr. Robert Hale, Vicky Cortez, Laila Muderspach, and a whole bunch of other people you can read up there, which have been really key and instrumental in guiding us along this effort. And more important, as the people that are here, Dr. Sheila Murphy and Paula Mazzella. So we'll be around, and Dr. Murphy has a presentation tomorrow at 12:30, and then we have the viewing of our film at 1:12 in room 206. So we hope if you're interested, come and follow up with us. Thank you.